Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15bmx.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pump Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
I just realized on Chatter today, I put this show as 220, but I just saw your show notes and it's 221. So show 221, World Cup 2023, World Cup champion Saya Sakaki Bar is coming on. So it'll be good to catch up with her. We're back, baby. Fresh off a week off, Palm Daddy.
Fresh off a week off. You know, we're both making mistakes. I just called this show 201 on YouTube. It's show 221. Come on, get it right.
201's very, very incorrect.
Very. How do I change this on the live? I don't know.
Yeah, we're off to a rip-roaring start after a week off.
Holy, get it together, boys, eh?
Yeah, get it together. Now. ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Saya, excellent start on a ProGate Europe this year.
Absolutely fantastic. Just came into her own league, I'd say, at the end of the season on a ProGate Europe. You know, she started with Great Gate. She's had Great Gates. Guess what she practices on? She practices on a fucking ProGate Europe. Get one today. Come on.
Get one today. You know, it's interesting. Her and Beth were in the same junior year, and now they're, in my opinion, the two fastest women in the world right now. So I kind of want to ask her about her relationship with Beth and what it's like, you know, competing at the highest level now and being at the top of the world, considering they kind of obviously raced each other through junior and battled for junior world title against each other. So that'll be kind of interesting to ask her about, too.
Good question. I had never really thought about that one. Forgot that they were actually in the same junior year and the fact that they are now at the top. Kind of wild how that works. We see that through like different ages all the time where the top guys kind of, they push the top dogs in the class, male or female, push each other to be better and better. And it's like, they don't even have to be from the same continent, but they're still racing against each other, it seems like, and they just become the best.
So the last 2 weeks, I've been on a big sports kick. Like, I know I always watch sports these days, but I've been on a big sports kick the last 2 weeks.
I'm a fan. I like this new Terry.
Yeah. So it kind of started because I started watching athlete documentaries on Netflix. I watched the Neymar documentary.
There's a Neymar documentary?
Which is really fucking good. It's cool. It's like 4 episodes, maybe. It's a really good one. And obviously I know who Neymar is, but I don't follow soccer and I don't really know his story. But I recommend it. It's cool. It talks about his upbringing, his like fame through Europe, and now he plays in the Middle East, I'm pretty sure now too.
Oh yeah. He's been paid like, yeah, 7 figures over there. Probably 8
that
figures.
Guy,
maybe
that
nine.
Guy is a human that guy's a human ATM. That's what he is.
Unbelievable. Hey, how much like he is just racking in money. He is a superstar around the world.
So like most athletes, he's his own business essentially, but dude, his fucking corporation, his Neymar corporation, he's got like 300 employees.
His dad's real?
Like, yeah. So he's like, I don't know what his position in the company, he'd be like the owner, I guess. Or yeah.
Okay.
Owner, CEO. His dad is like the CEO, I guess. Yeah, dude, they got 300 employees. So they take care of like all his marketing, blah, blah, blah. You know, they run the Neymar brand, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, 300 fucking employees. I guess when you're making 250 sheets a year, you can do that, obviously. But
yeah.
Pretty wild, I think. Yeah.
I guess, what are you going to do with all that money but like pay people to do your job? And then you might as well just be family and friends that you just pay to do jobs so they have money and then you keep growing. Like, just provide the wealth to your family. Like, that's crazy.
He's an ATM, that guy.
Yeah, seriously. Soccer players make ridiculous money. That whole, like, the whole going to the Middle East and making money these days for sports, like golf, now soccer, I mean, F1, it's crazy. Crazy.
Just wait for them to want to do BMX.
Waiting for them to knock on our door. You know, they want to do a BMX podcast. We can do it.
They're just waiting for Live BMX to start. Yeah. So I watched that one. Then Savannah and I just watched the David Beckham one. Have you seen that one?
No, I've seen it on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet.
That one is really fucking good too. Obviously I've heard of Beckham, but him and hearing him and Victoria's story of how they met and like, the stuff he had to go through after getting going off a red card in like a World Cup qualifier or whatever, and the stuff he had, dude, he was getting nationally like harassed isn't even the right word. He was getting fucking burned at the stake by the entire country after that. It's crazy to hear. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like it's very eye-opening. Cause I think here's the problem. I think when a lot of people follow sports and they see their favorite athlete, they just think of them as an athlete. They don't actually think of him as a human. So the shit that he had to deal with, yeah, it's unbelievable. I can't believe people talk to athletes that way and like cheer against them that way.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? It is
nuts. It is outrageous. It is.
But they also, I will say, you know, they get paid enough money that it's like, you know, people shouldn't do it, but they also get paid enough money that I'm like, you know what? That's part of their gig. Like that's part of being those level of athletes. Although I'm not going to lie that people take it too far, but it's like, if people were doing that BMX, be like, what the hell, guys? Like, shut the fuck up. We're not making enough money. Okay, come on.
But dude, to the point when they had a kid, like they were getting like abduction letters and stuff and like death threats like that.
That's too far.
I couldn't even imagine. Yeah.
As soon as you take it past like the athlete and into the family, that's too far.
Yeah. So anyway, after those two documentaries. Oh, and did I watch another one? I feel like I watched another
one. You watched the MJ one, but anyway, we talked about that last time.
Oh yeah, we did talk about that one last time. So that's what started the sports documentary kick. So that's what got me into basketball is MJ one. I'm now a Phoenix Suns fan. Love watching them.
You picked a good team. I definitely agree. You picked a very good team. They're not like the best of the best. Probably still trending okay, but they did lose CP3, although CP3 is not a winner in my eyes. He's a great, great fucking point guard, but he doesn't win championships. So probably better you guys got rid of
AD
him.
AD is a menace.
He is. Yeah. So
he is a menace.
You got. You guys are bound for a championship in the next handful of years, so I think you picked a great team to follow.
I never would have thought I'd be into basketball. Very fun sport to watch.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
I find the first two quarters very just boring because it's always like everyone just finds their groove, I feel like, until the second half, and it's like, and then the superstars come to play in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Also, didn't really get the college basketball or college football thing, but then I've recently added the OU Sooners to my team list.
Who's the OU? What are the Sooners? Who's
Oklahoma University Sooners? They're my NCAA football team.
How in the world did you pick them as your team?
Kind of came onto my radar when I went to Oklahoma this year, and then kind of just went for it. Very so. At first college football game I've watched with like actually wanting a team to win. I would say probably. It's very much like junior hockey. Like everyone's very good, obviously high level, but it's very loose, more mistakes, more swings of momentum. I understand now why people like college football so much.
They go for it a little more too, don't they? Like junior hockey.
Exactly.
Like
everything. Exactly. They play a bit more fast and loose.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. The whole overtime rules for college football to me is absolutely absurd. Do you know that yet? Have you seen that?
No. What are the rules?
For I don't know football? If it's for all divisions. I would imagine it is, but it's like you just go back and forth starting on like the 20 or 25 yard line, something, or 30 yard line. I don't know. Like you don't kick off, you don't do anything. You just start on the line. And if you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown. If not, the other team gets to try to get a touchdown. And if you both get a touchdown, you just do it again. You start on the line and you just keep rotating until somebody doesn't get a touchdown.
I feel like nobody's found a good overtime solution for football. Like it's just kind of one of those games. It's very hard to play overtime in that sport.
Kind of, yeah, because barely. It's like it's one side's offense, one side's defense completely. It's not like you're going back and forth ever.
Imagine if you just had a tip off like basketball, throw the ball in the air and let the team just fucking hunt.
There's be 25, 30 guys on the field just going at it, trying to get the ball at one time. We got it.
So I'm also thinking about adding a soccer team, and I'm leaning towards PSG because I like Mbappe.
Okay. Isn't he planning to go to the Middle East too? No?
I don't know. I'm not up on the latest, but I know he plays for PSG now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he plays
for PSG now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good team. I mean, you lost Messi. You lost
Neymar.
Top guy, Neymar. But it's like, you know, cool team to follow. A lot of money. Aren't they backed by some rich? Yeah, they're backed by rich guys. So you can get more good players.
Yeah, I don't think those teams in Europe are short on money for sure.
No chance they are. That's a harder one to watch. I mean, yes.
It is. It's tough, and it's on at like 5 a.m., so I don't know how many games I'll really see, but they might be the team that I kind of just loosely follow that sport, and they're the ones that I kind of like half cheer for.
Sometimes just following the stats and the scores is good enough, you know? Keeps the
interest. Mbappe he was incredible in the World Cup final last year, too, when he watched it.
It was, yeah. I'm surprised you don't go for like a U.S. I know MLS is still like kind of lame to watch, but now that Messi's in the league, I got to think there's going to be more hype around. I'm surprised he didn't go for an MLS. Doesn't
what
feel...
am I going to be a huge? What am I going to be a huge fucking LA Galaxy guy?
I mean, you might as well just cheer the for the fucking
Little League team. Might as well just cheer for the Little League team in La Mesa down the street.
At least you could go watch those live, eh? Can you?
Yeah, it's like being a diehard CFL football fan. I mean, it's like, what dude, are we doing here?
I went to a CFL game this year for anybody. Yeah, it was a joke, dude. Absolute.
It's not. Yeah, it's not great.
The field's massive. It's bigger than an NFL field, dude.
Absurdly wide.
Unbelievable. It was just like, it was just, I don't know. I hate, people say the three downs is good because it makes you go for it. But even our kickers, dude, when you didn't get it on the first two downs, you have to kick the ball away. Dude, they couldn't even kick it as well as the guys in the NFL. Like, they were kicking it half the height and half the distance. It's like, dude, you're just kicking a ball. How can you be that much worse than the NFL?
It's a bit of a clown show because the ball is huge, too. Like, it's bigger than the NFL football. And then, you know what's really hysterical? That the fact that the receivers can just take a full fucking sprint to the line of scrimmage.
Dude, that's the best. That's the only good part.
That is hilarious. Imagine that, just full speed at the line of scrimmage. No problem.
At least you know, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but you're like, the defense knows when your QB is going to snap the ball. The guys aren't going
to how the hell are you going to cover the guy? Like, how are you going to stay with him whatsoever?
Start backtracking early?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Unreal.
All right, to BMX, we've had a couple big races since we had our little break. We'll start with the Pan Am Games quickly before maybe we touch on Rock Hill and then Sy will come on. Pan Am Games every 4 years was down in South America this time.
As it kind of has been the past couple of years, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you go? Was it in Chile when you went?
Peru.
No, it was somewhere. Oh, Peru, that's right.
Yeah, it was Peru. Yeah, what'd you think? I mean, Pan Ams is always like a fun one because it's a games, you know, it's like there's some hype behind it. I thought the track looked kind of good to race on, good first straight. Some of the things looked a little awkward and weird, but I was entertained by it for sure. It was good to see the guys getting in action and had some top dogs there. So it's fun to watch.
How about Mariana, just the queen?
Just absolutely, just stamp it. Just stamp herself. Just loves
gold.
The queen.
Just fucking loves gold. No one likes gold more than Mariana.
Has she won? She's won three Pan Am golds now.
I think she won Mexico and then she crashed in Toronto. I think her and Elise and Stephanie crashed in Toronto and then she won the last two, right?
Yeah. Three-time Pan Am gold medalist. Crazy. Unreal.
What a fucking medal collection, yeah.
She I will say, like, she did in dominating fashion too. She looked really good out there.
Yeah, and obviously congrats to Molly, Pan Am silver medalist, especially as being young like she is and she hasn't been to an Olympic Games to go to your first, like, major games and get second to Mariana. That's an awesome result.
Huge. So Canadian Molly Simpson. Good to
go
see
Canada.
You. Go Canada. The guys had a good race too. It was fun. I mean, the Cams duked it out. That was a good race to watch. I mean, for them to go 1-2 for the US, for a country that we've kind of probably said a few times doesn't have that many top dogs right now. It feels like Wood has been at the top for a while, but cool to see Larson get a little bit of a breakthrough race there.
Cam Larson is like sneaky having a great career. Think about it. Like, he's Pan Am gold medalist now, and he's also won a handful of USA BMX races, gotten a bunch of podiums. Kind of the only thing he hasn't done is had like a big World Cup result. But besides that, if you look at his career, I mean, it's like really, really good.
Dude, he's freaking fast, dude. When he's got to be like one of those guys where if you put everyone's top start against each other, his top start when he really does get it has got to be up there with the top, I don't know, 5 to 10 guys in the world. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't think he gets it all the time because it's not, like, his style doesn't seem to be super consistent, but man, is he fast when he clicks. So, like, when he puts it together in a final, like he did, like Pan Am's, like, dude was out like a rocket.
Yeah. And you never know, winning a big race like this at a major games on Supercross might really help him at World Cups, World Champs, Olympics going forward. I know personally for me, it did after I won in Toronto. Really gave me a lot of confidence. And I think, you know, the same thing could happen to Cam, especially with his speed and with the World Cup being in the US next year. You never know what can happen with him.
I hope it does, because, I mean, one for him, obviously, because he's a good guy. He works hard. You want to see him do well. Also for the US, I think that would be exciting to have them battling for an extra spot again in the Olympics. Like, it feels like right now they've been lacking on people that are able to fight for, you know, their Olympic spot. So they only have, it seems like they're only going to get the one spot. But if they have him battling up there too and actually getting some World Cup results too, they could be in the boat, in the running for a second spot.
Really smart of the U.S. to send both cams as well. Like, obviously, I think everyone would say they're the two fastest guys in the U.S., but for both of them to get a major games experience under their belt too before the Olympic year next year, I think is really big. Like, after going to that, they'll be much more prepared of what to expect at the Olympics, because everything is the same thing. It's just the Olympics are just bigger.
Yeah, 100%. It is really just like, it's like a stepping stone just to the Olympics. A good warm up.
It's a mini Olympics. Yeah,
100. It is straight up just a mini Olympics. Yeah, so really sick. That was really cool. Carlos doesn't know how to knock it on the podium, by the way.
No, he doesn't. He's just Mr. Bronze. He's just he's just incapable of not getting third.
It's incredible, dude. You can't. It doesn't matter what the guy starts in, how good he's looking, if he should win, if he should get motoed. No. He just finds a way to get a third every time.
I'm sure Mariana's gold is for sure big, but even Carlos's bronze, like Pan Am Games, especially in South America, is huge. They treat it like the Olympics in terms of like media attention and that kind of thing. So I'm sure those medals are, you know, do a lot for their image in Colombia as well.
Right. I mean, yeah, they do it. What do they basically have a games every year? And if they're doing two other games, like meaning games, like they might have more than just like the other 2 years they have games, but like that means this is the second biggest instead of being like one down. It's
yeah.
So it's a big deal for them for sure.
I know we talked about it too, but I think actually come to think of it, I think someone told me BMX is going to be in the Commonwealth Games.
Oh really? Yeah. That'd be sick.
It's weird that it hasn't been so far considering it's in Olympics and Pan Ams, but yeah, someone told me it's coming.
Bad question, but yeah, where's the Commonwealth Games next?
I couldn't tell you.
Ah, shoot, hey. That's a toughie.
I remember, you know what, though? I actually remember thinking, especially like after Toronto and Rio, this is my second and third games between Olympic and Pan Ams, that I wanted to just go to as many as possible after that. And obviously, I ended up getting hurt and not being able to. But so I was thinking, like, I know some riders maybe don't want to go to some like Pan Ams, like the later in their career, but I like the fact that Mariana does. And I would have been the same way. If I was still racing, I still would have wanted to go.
Dude, 1000%. There's
no way I would have turned it down. Yeah.
No. The whole reason as a racer is you want to race the biggest and best events and represent a lot of people want to represent their country on the biggest stage possible. Well, I mean, to represent your country on the biggest stage is going to be at these games that are like, are communal, like they're world games, or at least, you know, North and South America games. You're representing your country. You're not just there for your national team. You're there for the country. Like, that's huge to me. Like, that's so big. That's such a big deal to be at.
I know. And I think those are the ones you look back on after you retire. I know I do, as the most fun and most special. So I think anytime you can do that, I think you got to maximize your opportunity.
100%. It's just really, really unfortunate that they just decide to go with Lululemon gear at these games for Canada after we're just done racing.
We got screwed. We did.
We got absolutely bent over. Unreal. Yeah,
the stuff looked sharp. The stuff looked really sharp.
Best looking country out there. I'd say Canada was.
Like, the Canada gear was dope. It really was.
Yeah. So.
I think our guys had a tough go, Ryan and Curtis.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, I think, not at their top game right now. Ryan coming off injuries, wasn't able to really do starts at all. He was just kind of racing from the back. And
I saw that.
Yeah. He's been having issues, I guess, just some injury issues. I don't know. I'm not going to throw specifics out there, but yeah. So he wasn't able to do starts and he was having to race from the back, which isn't his specialty. That's for sure. He's a great starter and can run up front when he gets out, but was having to run from the back. And I think Curtis is the same. He just was dealing with an injury earlier this year and hasn't been back to form either. So kind of a bummer. Didn't really get to show their stuff. And yeah, it's too bad.
Was there a big crowd there? Did you see?
I didn't see. No, I didn't really see. I never really saw the stands or anything. I did see afterwards when they were showing little clips of like Cam and Mariana after they won. And there's definitely a lot of people around, but you never can tell with those because it's always around their family and all the staff and everyone around. So can't tell.
No. Big like few month and a half for Cam Wood coming back from injury. He just went right back into the deep. Did really well at everything.
Unbelievable.
One in LA while winning a podium in Argentina, Pan Am silver. I mean, what an incredible comeback.
And raced Rock Hill this weekend, podium again.
Yeah, true.
Like, he made a post about it. It was like 5 months off to 5 weekends back-to-back racing. Like, that's a lot to take in.
It's got to go home and take a deep breath now.
It's going to need a week of hibernation.
Let's touch on Rock Hill, too, before we get to Saya. Peyton Ryan now are sliding out in the first turn.
Oh, I didn't see
the
that.
First day. Yeah, leading. I was just thinking, man, the turn's a bit of a problem.
The turn is, it needs to be fixed before the World Championships, please. Like, we're begging.
You can't, it does.
Can't have that turn there. Not like, not with that coating. The turn's fine. Just take the coating off.
The way she cornered was fine too. I mean, I think the turn grip is just crap at this point.
It's frustrating to watch. It was frustrating to ride. I think it's, nobody is a fan of it. You can't ride it in the rain. You need to get regular asphalt back in there ASAP so that's 100% good to ride in any condition. I mean, even in the dry right now, it's not appropriate, in my opinion. Like, come on.
Yeah, you can't have the leader sliding out like that.
No. I didn't actually see it, so but I can picture it, obviously, slide out, probably doing a normal corner.
It was fine. The way she was cornering was fine.
Joris cut one pretty low one of the times. I saw him skip out once in one of the races. I think it was the final. When him and Alfie were duking it out, he was actually pushing the limit of how low you could go with a slippery turn. So I was quite shocked about that. It needs to be changed. They got time.
Great. I was going to say, great battle, especially with Joris, Alfredo, and Cam, but Joris and Alfredo, especially, those guys were going at it.
Good. Love to see Alfredo back up there just duking it out. Joris just doing, I mean, the guy is just an assassin in these USA series right now. Like, he knows what he's doing right now. He's racking the wins. Taking off the podiums, blocking points when he needs to, probably. You know, he knows what he's doing.
Good to see Alf Dog getting a fucking win. He is Mr. Rock Hill. I know he's, I don't know. Oh, he lives in Florida, Orlando now, but I know he lived with Cole Tizar a long time, I think, in Rock Hill. And so he trained there all the time. It was one of his home tracks. Fuck, he's good there. Always has been. I was thinking, you never know with the world next year. Alfredo has a serious shot at winning that race.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
In like traditionally, he's been very good at the World Championships. There was those 2 years that, what was it, Baku and Baku and Zolder, where he was winning the semi both years and slid out. Oh, horrible for him. But dude, at the track he's the best at while he's in good form. And if he stays healthy, he's got a good shot. I think he's a very big dark horse pick to win. Like, I think he's very capable of winning it, but probably slightly under the radar from the French dudes.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. That's going to be the track and the race for him. He's a world specialist. So we got Saya coming on now, T. Should we slide her in here?
Yep. I would love to see Alfie win the Worlds.
That'd be sick. That would be...
God, that would be sick, wouldn't it? Oh,
unbelievable. All right, we have our guest of the show coming in. I pressed submit.
I like how it just says SS on her video.
There we go.
Can you hear us?
What's up, Saya?
Hello.
Hey, Saya, what's up?
Hey, not much. Not much. What about you guys?
How was your gym sesh?
It was really good. We went to this CrossFit gym in Shepparton. The owner actually like remembered like a few BMXers coming in. It was like, yeah, there was like some Brazilians and Argentinians coming in.
That's cool.
And they were like, oh, is there another race going on? But yeah, it's just nationals.
What are you guys doing in Shepparton?
What are you guys?
So it's the national champs this week.
It's this week. Okay. I thought it was more in December, but did they just have it in December like last year because it's COVID stuff or?
So it's 2021. It was like the 20th of December.
2021. Yeah. Yeah.
And then last year was around this time as well.
That's weird. It's always around the Grands cut time.
Yeah. I'm really glad that they didn't, well, they had it on the same weekend as Grands last year. And I was just like,
that's
why?
Rude.
That is terrible rude. Timing. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one is a little bit, well, it's not the same weekend, so it's like, hey, that's good.
Yeah.
At least that's, yeah.
Any chance they're going to let Romain race it as he's, you know, you're kind of sliding him in, Australia guy, you know?
He's got the haircut. He's got the Aussie hair now. He's fine.
I was like, maybe we can sneak you into a practice session.
Yeah.
And then he's like, sneak you, like, how are you going to sneak me in? I was like.
Anyway, Sai. Congratulations on such an outstanding year. I know the last couple of years you've had some injuries and it's been tough at times for you. So maybe take us back to the beginning of the year, getting back into some racing. I think Tulsa was one of your like first bigger races back. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually didn't race. I only had a few kind of like set races coming into the World Cup, which was the first one in Turkey. So the first one was like Oceanus, which was on like a big track, but like there was only like five of us in the elite class. So it was like low competition, but a big track. And then it was like next stepping stone was the Tulsa race, which is like, I don't know, same kind of size track, but you know, the competition is like much more, but not so important. And then the next one was like the real thing, like the, you know, really important big track and good competition. So yeah, it was like kind of like a stepping stone kind of coming into the Turkey World Cup. And yeah, it was weird. It was weird, like kind of lining up for a World Cup. And I just felt so outside my comfort zone. I haven't been at that scene, in the scene for like a year. I missed out on the Cologne, like the last two. The last one was literally a year prior to that. So yeah, I actually had like no expectations coming into this year. I didn't write any goals down. And yeah, when I think about it, it's like, yeah, I didn't write any goals down. And like, what was it that I was trying to achieve? And I think it was just like just wanting to conquer that fear, which originally wanted me to quit. You know, I was so scared of crashing again, so scared of hitting my head again. And it's like, yeah, this is not worth the risk. But when I decided to, yeah, I'm going to come back, I just had that one goal of, yeah, just overcoming my fear and see what I can do out there. And literally just didn't write anything down. It was just that. And I think coming into it, I tried to change a lot of things. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to come back, I want to do it the way I want to. I want to, yeah, I didn't have a bike sponsor. I cut my hair off. I changed my helmet. I changed my pants. I changed my coach. And I just kind of just did it. I wanted to find my purpose again. Mm-hmm. That is apart from what I have been doing all these years, was this journey with Kai and this journey to the Tokyo Olympics. And once that was done, I think I was like quite lost and I didn't really know what my purpose was. So yeah, so I kind of wanted to be like a blank canvas and yeah, go out there and find my purpose, find myself and find my relationship with BMX again. And no, I think that was like the true goal of this year.
I was going to say, maybe explain a little what you went through the last couple of years with injury and everything for people that aren't up to date on what happened.
Well, I think it kind of started, well, I guess what really rocked me was Kai's crash in 2020. He had a big brain injury and he was in a coma for 2 months. And yeah, he's great now. He's just a legend. Everyone has seen him on Instagram and he's just doing his thing. And, you know, his motivation and dedication hasn't changed. And it's just really incredible to see, really. And then in Tokyo, in like August 2021, I crashed, had a concussion. And to be honest, I thought I'll be back in 2 weeks and I'll be up and riding. But it took me about 3 months to kind of recover from that, to have like no symptoms. And then the next year, the first race in USA, it was at Okehele, I crashed and I think I hit my head and it was like, it was a bit of like a mild concussion. And I was like, great, hit my head again. And then it kind of just, yeah, it was like my belief. It kind of consolidated my belief that, okay, if I crash, I'm going to hit my head. So it was this like kind of fear that I kind of took into that season where I was literally just riding so fearfully and I was just so tense. And I was like, every lap I did or every race I did, I crossed the finish line. I was like, okay, I survived. Like, that's good. And I was just, yeah, just if you can feel that kind of like tension and just so much anxiety coming into every race. And ultimately I crashed again in Papendal, hit my head, and that was a bigger concussion. And yeah, when I woke up, I was like, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to get back from this, because I was struggling so much as it is, and how hard it was to come back from the last concussion. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. So yeah, initially I already had that that thought. And yeah, well, it was now since I had that experience from Tokyo, I learned so much about concussions and like what best to do in the first 20 or 48 hours. And I tried to do my best to just recover from it as quick as possible. But yeah, I did kind of try to take my time. I went to Swiss Concussion Center and yeah, I kind of just, yeah, went through all that, and it really wasn't a good experience. And yeah, I was just not in a good spot. Definitely at the end of last year.
I think it's very cool you've learned a lot and able to share a bit, because I mean it's still one of those things where people are dealing with it, but they probably don't, a lot of people don't deal with it in the correct way. And we were able to see firsthand that it's like, if you, it does, it gets to you after a while, I'm sure. And then if you take care of it in the right way, you can do it properly, and it makes a difference for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like not enough evidence or not enough studies, or it's just so hard because everyone is so different and everyone, it affects everyone so differently. Yeah. But this time around, through Red Bull, actually, I was able to connect with one of the mountain bike downhill riders, Tani Seagrave, and she was actually going through a concussion as well, just as I was. And we were kind of just sharing experiences, and it was like quite nice to just have someone to talk through struggles. And yeah, like even like in mountain bike, it's just, there's just not enough, you know, emphasis on it. And I think there is more and more now within mountain bike and also BMX some protocols as well. So that's good to see.
When this year did you start feeling more like yourself and more like you could get back to the level you know you can race at?
Well, I didn't know what that level was. I honestly, like, I didn't know what that level was going to be. And coming into Turkey, the second day I was first qualifier into the final. And I was like, oh, like it really surprised me. I was just like, oh, really? And I think, yeah, when I was there, I kind of pooped it and wasted that opportunity. But that was actually a really good learning experience, because when I found myself in a similar situation in Papendal, where I was second pick, I was like, okay, don't waste this opportunity now. Like, that's just, like, we've been there before. We felt shit after it. It was not a good experience. Okay, so let's try to avoid that. So that was good experience to go through. But what would that be? What that point would be? Is probably Argentina, second week of Argentina.
It really seemed like it.
I think it was just like, that was like the moment where I was like, okay, I think I'm good now. Like, I have enough evidence to kind of be like, this is where I'm at. Like, I probably needed so many things to happen well in order for myself to just be like, okay, we're good then.
Talking about like making all the changes, kind of is going to the year, like new coach, new gear, your own stuff. Was that freeing for you? Cause, knowing like you're talking about, you know, setting your goals and all that. I mean, I feel like that's a big change, just kind of going off your own, doing your own thing and just having your own slate. Like you said, how freeing was that to race like that?
It was really empowering, actually, especially like no disrespect to any bike brands or anything like that. It's just like, just being out there with my own thing. I bought my bike. I just wanted to ride a bike that I wanted to do.
That's a hilarious picture that you just buy your own bike. I love it.
I mean, it was quite empowering. It was like,
you do whatever, like, you want.
It's like being single, like not that I've had experience, but like being like single, it's like, I don't need no man. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I can do this myself, and I can, you know, it was kind of like another thing to believing myself more, like not believing in my sponsors, for example. I know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, super empowering. Super empowering, and I'm really glad that I did it that way.
There we go. What did you? How well did you gel with like being in Argentina for that long? Because for one, I mean, the trip I've heard from a lot of people is just tiring. It's just you're in Argentina for basically 2 weeks. How were you able to just stay kind of fresh and ready to go for the second weekend?
Yeah, I wasn't fresh.
I was going to say, it was a really quick turnaround for you guys because you race Saturday, Sunday, and then Friday, Saturday the next week. So you only caught a few days off, really.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it that way because when we were official practice on Friday, I was like, okay, cool, racing tomorrow, great. And I was thinking or imagining if it was another day of waiting, I would have been like pretty pooped. Mm-hmm. So I was really happy that they did it that way and it actually went pretty quick. You know, like you race on Sunday, have a Monday off, do something Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday off. And then, Thursday was the official practice.
And then Friday, Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Touch on the Olympics a little. So from obviously it's been 3 years, well, 2 years now, but 3 years between Tokyo and Paris next year, does it feel like it's gone by quick, the time?
Yeah, it's so quick. Yeah. I don't know anything else. Like, I haven't gone through a cycle where it's like, okay, done the Olympics and then now I'm going to do it again. And, like, for example, four years before 2020 was when I was 17. So I wasn't, like, fully, like, that thinking about training cycles and things like that. So yeah, it's fast, but that's all I ever know, so I guess that's fine.
I was gonna ask, when you mentioned like getting a new coach, who are you working with now?
I'm working with Luke. Okay. So he's looking after the development, oh, not development, like under 23s. Cool. And under 19, so yeah, it's good.
I know you spend a lot of time in France with Romain now. Do you like training there? I know there's a lot of awesome tracks to ride, and with the Olympics there next year, like, does it feel more like your second home now?
Yeah, definitely. It feels like a second home. Well, I think that's probably the most home place we have, or I have in my life. But even though we spend like five or six months of the year there,
yeah,
like we have our own space and I can just kind of do whatever I want. We have our own routine. We have good training facilities and things like that. So, but then when we're in Australia, I can be at my parents' place, which is nice, but I think that it's not the best training environment for me. Like, being in the Gold Coast is better, like better weather, got Sleeman and like not too far away. So when we're up there, it's not really home either. So it's like, I don't know. And when people ask me, like, where are you based? And that's a really hard question.
Wherever. Wherever your bike is.
Yeah. Like, what about you guys? Like, I guess you guys spend a lot of time in Canada, but like most of the time you were living out of a suitcase. So
yeah, it's like when you're traveling and racing, it's wherever your suitcase is, wherever your bike is, wherever your suitcase is. Yeah. So you and Beth obviously have both had great years and both won races. It's kind of interesting because obviously you battled as juniors when you're younger and now you're at the top of the elite women class. What's your guys' relationship like and you know, going from racing when you're younger to now?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're friendly, but like with myself, and I think I'm quite shy, or when I'm not like super comfortable with someone, I'm not gonna just like go out and I don't know, come up with a conversation. So no, we're really friendly. And the first kind of time we got to race against each other was in Rock Hill 2017 Worlds, and I was leading the whole lap and she got me on the line, and I guess that was that was one of the hardest days ever.
Tough memory.
It was, that was hard to get over. And I guess that's just started our rivalry, really. And it's never been like, yeah, it's always been quite, you know, friendly. And but when I think about it, like, there hasn't been many times that Beth and I got to race each other like on the same gate this year, because up until Argentina, the times that I won, she wasn't on the gate, like she didn't make the final or something. And every quarter or semi, we were always on different gates. So there wasn't like many races where we're like head to head. So in Argentina, we got a few goes, I think. Yeah, all four finals, which is good. But it's really cool. It's really cool to be one of those top two riders, just kind of pushing, you know, that next level of women's racing. And when I was, if I was to think, if I was watching two people kind of dominate in a class, I would be like, hell yeah, that's really, really cool. Like, they're really pushing each other and they can only beat each other kind of thing. And it's kind of like I feel quite honored to be one of those people. And it's been really, really cool.
That's cool. Speaking of like dynamics between two people, what is it like between you and Romain at the World Cups now? Like, you guys have both had two of like the coolest, best years of your careers. And like, to watch it from the outside, it's like a fairy tale, honestly, to see you guys be able to win races together. Is it like, is it hard to watch each other race at the same time?
Well, I don't get to watch him. Like,
I guess, yeah,
you'll have to ask him. Like, he's on the gate and he has to kind of, not on the gate, but he's next to race after I do my final. So, like, I don't really think about him doing racing.
Yeah.
So, but what I did think at the start of this year was, like, after Turkey, I got a semi and a fifth. And I knew that I didn't really do my best. But I was like, oh, well, it's okay. Like, I don't have to be riding. I don't have to be doing podiums or winning or anything. But then when I saw Rom get a first and second, it was like that extra little push to be like, okay, come on, like, let's give it an extra. So
we can, I need to be up there too.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I wanted to join him on the podium and it'll be cool to win together and then win on the same day. Like, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like that extra little push that I needed. So I know you'll have to ask him, but on the race days, we hardly see each other. Like, I come into the French tent like, oh, hello.
Yeah. You're both doing your own thing and routine. You got stuff to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just, yeah, and he has plenty of support with the French team. I have support with the Australian team, and it's not like we need each other at all.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, do you prefer just doing kind of fewer races in the year and just like kind of prep for the big ones like the World Cups and just doing those, or would you prefer to try to race kind of more? What's your preference?
Well, that was my strategy last year, was as like try to race as much as I can. Or in the mindset that I was in, I hated it. And I was just hating every race. I was so scared. So my experience with racing all the time is not good. And my experience with racing less is great. So I feel like I actually haven't done many full seasons in elite. So I had 2018, my first year, did a full season. 2019, did a full season. Missed 2020, obviously. Only raced like three times in 2021. And only did half a season in 2022. So this was my third like elite full season. So I feel like I'm still a rookie, but, you know, I've been telling everyone like I'm middle-aged in BMX now, you know, like 24, 25, kind of like a middle-aged, like not really a rookie, not really like a veteran. So it's it's like I still feel like I'm a newbie, but yeah, just still learning.
I don't know if this stat, if these stats are correct, but because it's, I can already see it's missing your, the Turkey round one this year, the World Cups. But I don't think, have you never, you've never missed a semi at a World Cup. Is that true? Like I'm, I don't, this thing, I don't know if this is, this, is this accurate? Like that, if that stat is true, that's crazy. All I see is finals and semifinals on here right now.
Just the top 16 machine.
It's unbelievable. I think this, like this, the fact
that. Yeah. Probably.
I just love seeing like stat, like that's, looking at stats and finding random.
That's a cool, that's a cool stat. We need more stats like that. That stuff's really interesting.
I think that's incredible.
Yeah. So,
very cool.
That's true. Where are you getting this from?
BMXresults.com.
We got a stats department. The headquarters. I'm curious, after you've done now some racing in Europe and some racing in the US, do you have a preference of, you know, racing in Europe versus racing in the US, like tracks, atmosphere, just overall, maybe you like one more than the other?
I'm not sure. Both, I don't like waiting.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
So the first thing that pops into my head is, okay, which one am I waiting for longer? But you wait just as long as each other, I think, for USA BMX. And
you know, it's funny that USA BMX schedule is way better for the pros now. It used to be like a few hours between motos. Now it's like an hour.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. But then like one time for the UCI and we only had three, like it was like the three final.
Yeah.
So we did like the first two laps and then we had like a, I don't know, huge break to do all everyone's That's third third and semi or someone had quarters and semi and then final did finals. So it's like a long time. I don't know. See, like I haven't had that much experience racing like a full season in US or a full season in like Europe. Well, I did in 2018, 2019, but the race format has changed since then, like since 2019. Wait, has it? Was 2019, did they have like last chance format for Europe?
Oh, in Europe or at the World Cups, you mean?
Yeah, on the World Cups, yes, but the European.
They had last chance, yeah.
Did they? I don't know if they did either.
They did. They did after the first round. Yeah, they changed it in 17.
2018. No, 2018, Euro rounds, you ran three motos.
Wait, are you talking about Euro rounds or the World Cup? Because obviously it's two different. Were we talking World Cups or Euro?
I thought we're talking about USA BMX rounds versus European rounds.
That's what I was talking about.
Okay, so
I thought you were talking about World Cup, so then never mind. I'll just stop.
They just stop.
Stop. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in 2018 at Euro rounds, they had the three rounds. So I don't know if it was 2019 or 2020 they switched. I would imagine it was 2020.
So I haven't really had much experience with that either. So I guess that's the pros and cons with racing a lot. Or not racing a lot, having a select few. It's just like you don't have much time to practice or go through those motions of like, what do you do on race days in your routine or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And obviously just overall experience, you're going to get more stuff if you put yourself in those situations more often.
Yeah.
So,
do you have any interest in doing a full season in the US at any point?
Yeah. It's always like one, I feel like it's like a bucket list thing to do
in
every BMX show, I feel. So one day or 1 year, I will. I'm not sure when.
Probably not next year, yeah. James, want to get some questions from the grandstands? Do you have anything
other? I got a couple more. I was going to just hit you with the non-BMX stuff. Like, what's your kind of off day like routine like? I guess it changes depending on where you are, but what's your go-to way to just kind of, I don't know, get away from the BMX side of things?
Well, if there's like a cafe, we'll go like nice coffee or have a lunch or brekkie.
You're a foodie, aren't you?
big foodie. So when we're living in France, like, we hardly ever went out because I have such a high standard on food. So especially when we go out, because you're paying money for it, like, if it's not an 8 out of 10 or higher, it's a big disappointment. So most of the time we just cook at home and it's like, okay, what do you want to eat? And then we just, if it's something not really, I don't know, if it's something that we don't normally eat, for example, I don't know, ramen or, I know, fried food or something, like, it's better to just make it at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been doing that. Well, yeah, I don't know. I just cook food, have coffee, read books.
That's good. When you make your food, are you a recipe follower? Or are you at the point now where you maybe see a recipe and then just wing it yourself? I'm always curious.
Yeah, bit of both. I like skim a recipe and then see all the ingredients and then kind of just wing it, kind of thing.
I think that's the best way. You got to freelance a little.
Yeah, you got to experiment a little bit. And yeah, most of the time when I make something for the first time, it sucks and I get really disappointed. And I'm like, oh, what a waste of a meal, you know.
Yeah.
It could have been 8 out of 10 or higher, but it was only a 6. And it's like, oh.
Crap. What did you do in Argentina then? Because Argentina is classically known for its steak and fries. Like, there's nowhere to go. Where did you guys go for food? Or what did you do for food?
Yeah, but the thing is, they're all open at like 8:30.
Yeah, that is a problem, having dinner at like 9 to 10. I hate that.
Yeah, so I was getting
nothing like a big steak at 9:30 p.m. before bed. Let's eat a 24-ounce steak at 9:30.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. So I was either getting room service, or there was this pasta place that was like delivering, like, super cheap. Like, it was like $2 US.
That's the dream.
And I was like, great. Don't even have to leave the hotel. They just come and deliver it. And I was just eating all of that.
So good. Love it.
So good.
Yeah, we have some quick shots, or sorry, some questions.
Questions from the grandstands.
Yeah, so a question from fans that we'll rip through here, and they can be short answer or long. It's up to you, Saya, whatever you feel like.
All right, from Megan Dungeon, what is your least favorite part of training?
Sometimes, like, rest days sometimes, because I get bored. And when there's too many, I just get like a bit bored. And if I don't have anything to do, I get, a bit like sad, actually. And I feel like I have no purpose in my day. So then I get down and I eat and it's like, I shouldn't be eating. When I'm not training, I shouldn't be eating this much. But,
That's a fair answer. That's a very unique answer.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
James, you have them, or is it just me?
I do, yes. I'll go too. Okay. From Jack Hudson, where do you get the best pain au chocolat?
From Marie Blacher.
Good French.
Good accent. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah.
I've been practicing, guys.
Yeah, really good. Solid.
Bonjour, comment ça va?
Wow. Yeah. Amazing French, James.
Come on. I thought it was pretty good. I'm saying, oh, how's it going? You know, it's pretty
fucking amazing French right there. Yeah.
From there. Great. Mm. Great.
From Justin York 12, who do you see as being the future of female riders in Australia?
In Australia, we actually have good promise. I'm quite optimistic. We have a few junior riders. We have Taya Rufus and Sienna Powell. So Sienna got second at the Worlds, which is great. Taya got fourth. They're both great riders. There's another girl called Bella May in junior. And another girl called Isabel Schramm. So, and then they were both at Argentina. So
cool.
Great.
I feel like Oz. Oz always has really good talent, I feel like, and always coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope that, you know, they keep at it. The hardest thing I feel like around that age is like, if you don't really feel like you're getting the support or you're not really being seen, it's so hard. It can just be like, yeah, what's the point? Mm-hmm. I feel that I was lucky in the way that, you know, I felt like I was seen and there was support, and I was like, okay, I'll just follow. And I think it was also easier that I was just following Kai as well. Like, it didn't really matter what I was doing. But yeah, I really hope that there's support for them, and its future is looking bright.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of people that ask about this, Justin Green and Eli Shaw. But with regards to your frame and bike sponsorship world, are you going to continue just kind of doing your own thing then with riding kind of whatever bike you want or whatever parts and all that? Or are we like, if sponsors are coming to you, are we accepting offers if they're good?
Let's go to order the next one on Amazon Prime for next year or what?
I'm open. And I think the big thing for me is like, I feel like I have to follow my heart with this, because that's what I did for this year. And it worked. I wasn't, I don't know. Don't really have an answer.
Fair.
Open to it.
Open.
All right, James, I'm relocating, so go again.
I'll keep going. Okay, this one, it might be a biased answer because it's from BMX Sarions. They says, is Sarions your favorite track?
Well, I think I ride, I'm good on that track. So therefore, yes. I don't know. I don't know what my favorite track is, but when I was thinking or looking back at Papendal, I was like, wow, that is a good track. Like, any, it doesn't really matter what jumps they put in there. I think like just
Papendal's always good.
It's a great racetrack.
From Ryan's Realm, which victory felt more gratifying looking back, your win in Papendal earlier this year or winning the Women's World Cup overall in SDE?
Papendal, for sure. I think when I was, I wanted to win and I knew that I could win. I knew that a win was coming for me at some point. And, even as standing at the top of the start hill, moments before I got on the gate for the final, I was fighting with myself should I just pull the brakes and just be safe, or should I just go for it? And I was like, and it was so stressful. I was so stressed all day. And also just the day before as well, I just had this quite crazy, this stressful feeling, on Friday practice. And I was just like, I don't want to do this. I just want to go home. I honestly don't want to do this. And before the final, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, just let's do future Sayer a favor and let's not have her regret this moment kind of thing. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And when I crossed that finish line, it was just like this outpour of emotions because I was so stressed and I was like, fuck, I finally did it. And it's like, oh my God, I won as well. And it was just like crazy. And then Ron won as well a few moments later. I was just like, what the hell?
Unreal.
It was unreal.
That's such a cool, I think some of us maybe, I think there's definitely some people that got tears out there. I don't know who, definitely wasn't anyone. We got another one from Nikki Shooter. This is kind of just a lame classic food one, but maybe it's different Australia. Macca's or Hungry Jack's? Hungry Jack's.
If I had to choose, it would be Macca's.
Good choice. What's Hungry Jack's?
It's like Burger King, James.
Burger King.
Fair. I mean, they're both crap, like McDonald's or Burger King. What are we doing here?
We could have picked better spots. Come on.
All right, Chipotle or In-N-Out?
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
That was some real quality. Now we're talking about real quality food.
I actually haven't had In-N-Out.
What? You never had In-N-Out?
No.
Have you had come to the West? I was gonna say, if you ever come to the West Coast, you gotta go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, I will at some point. It's like I also need to try Five Guys.
Yep.
Five Guys is pretty good too, I think.
Mm. Yeah. So I'll have to say Chipotle because that's all I know. That's
fair. Yeah. Do you have a favorite like Netflix show right now or some sort of streaming service show you watch?
No, we actually haven't been watching much lately. I've been trying to watch some French cartoons.
Hell yeah.
with subtitles.
I was going to ask, is that to get used to or get learn French? Yeah.
Yeah. Just to have the French subtitles on, and it's actually quite helpful. And I also slow it down. You know, you can do that. You can make it like 0.08 times.
Oh, okay.
Speak even slower, and I can follow what they're saying. And if I don't know what they're saying, it's so easy to understand because it's cartoons.
Right.
They say that's a really good way to learn language.
Yeah. But the one that I was watching in France isn't available here, so I'm
Shoot. VPN well, Sia, we really appreciate you coming on. It's good to catch up with you. Congratulations on an outstanding year. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, thanks you guys. And you guys need to do more kind of YouTube stuff, I feel.
We do it.
I know, I agree.
It would help if we live actually in two at a race though, you know?
Yeah, we don't live in the same place, so it's tough.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just like thinking about what mountain bike do for like practice sessions. They just I see Ron like watching practice from the downhill before the World Cup for downhill. And yeah. It's like there must be people who want to watch BMX practice, but there's just 100%. No one filming and no one who's uploading. So
100%.
I'm just going to say it. If the UCI paid us to come to the event or at least paid for the trip there, I would absolutely put out YouTube content, you know? It's just, come on.
Maybe we'll do some. We'll be at the Grands. Maybe we'll do some at the Grands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, great.
Are you going to be at the Grands this year, Sia?
No, unfortunately not. Okay. I won't.
Okay.
So next time or another time.
We'll try to give you some YouTube content there.
I'll watch it.
Thanks for coming on, Sia. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks, you girl.
Yeah.
Bye. Sia Sakakibara, folks.
Round of applause button. I don't know where it is. It's
waiting for the applause, but it is what it is. Good to catch up with her. We haven't had her on the show for a while. I remember the first time we had her on was her and Kai, and I want to say it was after like the Tokyo Test event.
Yeah, in 2019.
Have we had her on since?
No, we haven't. So I think that's the first time.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's been a minute. So, no doubt. I'm sure people will be happy to hear from her. And yeah. What are you pointing at?
Nothing. I was going to say
phenomenal comeback this year. And is that door behind you narrow or is it just me?
Let me look on YouTube.
I've been thinking narrow? About it the last 10 minutes. Is it narrow or is it just me? Is it like a normal width door?
No, it's definitely a narrow door. It's a narrow door.
It looks very narrow.
It's a locked door too. It's the door that goes into my landlord's entrance to get up to their suite upstairs, to go up there upstairs.
Got it.
So it never even opened. So there's actually wood on the ground blocking it.
Okay.
You've been waiting all show to ask that, haven't you?
What the fuck is with that door?
Also, the angle just makes it look even skinnier. But I have a new setup here, as you see. I'm at a desk. I got to put stuff up in the background.
So. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, good to hear from Sia. Definitely will be a medal favorite heading into the Olympics next year, I think, especially with it being in France and coming off the year she just had and the way she's been riding. So
very exciting. It's going to be exciting to watch her. I think she's got one of the most exciting names to say. Sakakibara.
Sia Sakakibara. That's like just a super cool name to announce.
Awesome. Yeah. And just a cool story. I mean, the fact she's able to now take, strength, motivation from Kai and everything like that, I think is really cool for the family and for her. So awesome. And love it. Really good. That stat dude.
Yeah, that's a very good stat.
So I don't trust it anymore because it doesn't have Turkey round one in the World Cup participation stats. So I don't trust it. But literally from 2016, It said there was a final, semi, final, 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 semi, final, semi, final, semi, semi, final, semi, final, 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 semi. And it, dude, it's crazy.
We need more stats like that.
It's insane.
Unfortunately, no one does it.
No. We just literally go on this. We go on BMX results every. I go in there every time we have a show just in case I see something random. And I saw something like this today and I was like, what the hell's going on? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, really cool. Do we want to drop who's on the show next week or should we just save it?
Good question. Good question. Good question. Should we maybe hint it? Maybe a hint.
All right. How big do we want to hint?
Like we could just say the country they're from.
Okay.
So we could tell the viewers or the fans, the listeners that they're from Australia as well, actually.
Yeah. We're having another Australian on next week. We're sticking with the trend.
Back to back Aussies. We're not going to say anything more. I don't know. Like we can, but I don't know if it's worth it. We should just like wait.
Yeah, we'll just, all right, we'll keep it in the bag.
Should we say the gender? Or like, we're gender neutral. I don't know what we are over here. I don't know what this world is anymore.
No, we'll keep the people guessing. We'll just say it's an Aussie next week too.
That's good. I like that. So
yeah.
Before we end the show, I got to talk about this bogus parking ticket I got.
I just recently got one too.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, let's compare because, okay, so I work for this company, Dynamic. It's a rope rescue company. We basically get contracted out for jobs every now and again. What happens is we drive to our warehouse where the equipment is and where they do equipment sales and they do courses out of. It's a big warehouse. So we go to this warehouse. We usually pick up one of their trucks with the equipment in it that we need for a job to go set up for our rescue equipment in case anything happens. So mm-hmm. we at this warehouse, though, there's not a whole ton of parking, especially when they're doing three different things out of the same warehouse where it's like courses, sales, and our contracting jobs that we do. So they ask us to park on the street instead of in the warehouse parking because there's not a lot of parking, unfortunately. So on this street that's right outside the warehouse, there's a ton of people that park on the street. It's packed. Like I'm telling you, every warehouse, every building, like there's construction below, it's a packed street. So you want to make room for everybody by making sure you park close to the entrances of these driveways to the warehouses. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I got a fucking parking ticket for parking too close to the driveway of our warehouse, of the company I work for.
Oh, that's infuriating.
It said I was within 1.5 meters. Dude, I have a photo. But you can't obviously see where the 1.5 meters is. I'm not blocking any bit of the entrance to the driveway of the warehouse. Like not even the little bit that curves out at the edge. I'm not even against it. And I got a fucking ticket for that.
You know, some cities just like to collect revenue. I seriously think they just do it to collect money.
It's crazy. So I instantly saw this ticket when I got back from the job. I phoned the city. I'm like, what the hell is this all about? And the guy on the phone says, you know, these kind of parking tickets, normally somebody complains. I tell the guy, I'm like, buddy, I work for the company that I'm parking in front of the driveway. No one's complaining. We are told to park on the road and make room for everybody. I'm not in the way of anybody.
What'd he say?
He's just like, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's like, you know, a lot of times people complain of these things. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, that's a joke. So I disputed the ticket and I haven't heard anything back yet. So we'll see.
That is infuriating.
Dude, yeah.
That is infuriating.
Yeah.
I mean, my ticket was completely my fault. So I parked my street every Monday. No. Every Tuesday morning at like 4 a.m. They do street cleaning. Oh, so you can't park.
Right. I remember this.
You can't park. So I can't leave my truck. I sometimes just park on the street in front of my house on Monday. I usually do, but you can't on Monday nights because obviously it's going to be there overnight and it's going to overlap with Tuesday at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
So I've gotten maybe since I moved here, I've gotten maybe three tickets and this was like my fourth because I just forgot. And I parked Monday night, left it out there, go out and there's a ticket. I'm just like, oh, fuck me, dude.
You got three or four of those?
It's got to be... It's more than two. It's got to be. This is the third or fourth in the past 2 years. That's awesome. Very frustrating. It's $42.50. I just log on and pay it, and I move on with my day. Yeah, this is what it is. It's the cost of doing business, you know?
You know the price of the ticket. Just $42.50, you pay it up there online.
$42.50, go on paymysite.com and pay for my citation for the city of La Mesa. That's what happens. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Oh, you know what's crap, too?
Keeping that place
Savannah,
running, Savannah forgot her car once, or it was like earlier this year, end of last year. She forgot, she parked overnight on a Monday and somehow woke up and there was no ticket.
No way.
And we even checked, like, the, you can, because you can go on the website and like search your license plate, because sometimes if the ticket blows off, whatever. Right. So we wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't there. So somehow she didn't. And I've gotten dinged every single time.
Unbelievable.
It's fucking frustrating.
That is, that's rude, dude. Come on.
So it's Monday today. So I made sure I parked my truck underground. I even have a 7 p.m. reminder every Monday to move my, to park underground. Every Monday, my phone dings at 7 p.m. What happened? I don't know what happened. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what happened. System broke down.
Just, you know, there's a misconnect there. You know, some, you know, communication. Yeah, wasn't
it was
great.
It was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it's frustrating. Oh, you got to pay attention.
Really just, tough out there in the streets of La Mesa.
It really is.
I hate just parking tickets, dude. For the city. Fucking parking tickets.
Yeah, there's, it's a, you're just burning cash. It's
brutal. I will say, yeah. I had the best worst case scenario happen to me last week with my car. I had a car issue. I was driving home to my parents' place, and I had some errands to run around their place. And as I was driving back, I heard some squeaking coming from the engine. I was like, oh, that's weird. So I pulled into my parents' garage in their underground, opened up the hood, couldn't see anything wrong with like the belts or anything. As I start to leave the parking lot, the belt on my car, not like the timing belts, like the other belt, I think it's called the Serpentine belt. It's like, does your alternator, does a bunch of things. Anyways, it just fucking blew up, like shredded to pieces as I'm leaving the garage. No. I just hear it. And like instantly I was like, oh fuck. But thank God I was in my parents' like underground. So I just backed the car into the garage. Their car was there. I swapped cars for a few days, got into the shop to take care of. But if that happened on the highway or something, dude, I would have been screwed. It would have sucked.
You're screwed, yeah.
So that was actually very good luck. It was bad luck, but it was really good luck.
Yeah, that you would have been screwed if it was on the freeway. Pro-Hit Europe, winning starts the Great Gate. We'll be back next week with a guest I'm sure you guys will be interested to hear from. Until then, snap on green.
Snap on green, everybody.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the truck.
I hate that guy.